This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Additional sponsorship of Inside Music has been provided by Alfonso and Diana Finocchiaro. Welcome to this evening's episode, Ludwig at his manic best. That was the electrifying exposition of the fourth movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. Some of you may have heard the quote attributed to composer Carl Maria von Weber, who attended the premiere of this work. Now debunked by scholars as a false attribution, the reaction to the first movement was something like, "Herr Beethoven is now ripe for the asylum." And the Seventh Symphony is so manic at times that someone might easily have thought that, even if that someone was not von Weber. Clara Schumann's father, Friedrich Wieck, who actually attended the rehearsals of the Seventh Symphony, said that the opinion of the musicians in the orchestra was that Beethoven must have been quite inebriated when he wrote it. However, contemporary accounts of the premiere performance indicate that the audience members were propelled out of their seats in a state of ecstasy at the conclusion of the final movement. And I personally rest my case with Beethoven's Self-Assessment, one of my best works. So let's discover why the fourth movement in particular is so much fun to listen to, and to play and conduct, I might add. The movement is written in sonata form, a topic we've explored in detail in the second pilot episode of this series, entitled The Problem with Program Notes, and archived both on the WWFM and Discovery Orchestra websites. As in other examples of sonata form, we have three main sections, or paragraphs, if you will, the exposition, development, and recapitulation. Within these large sections, we find a theme one, transition, theme two, and closing section. There is also frequently an introduction and an extra ending. And lest all this become way too much information to keep track of, let's get right to the music. For the first movement of his Seventh Symphony, Beethoven wrote what was the longest introduction to a sonata form movement ever written up to that time. Here's some of it. He goes on that way for almost another 3 minutes, giving us an intro lasting 3 minutes and change. But what of the introduction to the fourth movement? In an incredible display of brevity and wit, he gives us... That's it, folks. A 2-second introduction for his fourth movement. Say the rhythm after me. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Go ahead, I'm listening. That's it. 2 da-da-da-das separated by a deli-thin slice of silence. Listen once more. Deliciously funny, I think. It's time to move on to theme 1. But instead of one musical idea, such as theme 1 in the first movement of Mozart's C major piano sonata... Beethoven often wrote groups of patterns, so here is the first pattern in theme group 1, slowed down a bit. That idea is repeated and then changed slightly. The changed version is also repeated. See if you can notice these repeats. Raise an eyebrow when you sense that each of these sections is repeating. The music will be moving much faster, so buckle your seatbelts. Hopefully, you raised your eyebrows 4 times. But if you raised them 8 times, not to worry. The important thing is to be aware of repeated ideas. The next pattern in theme group 1 is quite different, but it does stay in the same key, A major. First played by the woodwinds and French horns, this pattern is then repeated by the string section. Say the rhythm after me. Da 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 da. I know you can say this. Try it again after me. Da 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 da. Did you notice, perchance, that Beethoven borrowed the first part of his new pattern from his introduction? Now listen to the orchestra. And you better believe that French hornists live to play this passage. Now, listen to the insanely brief introduction and the 2 patterns of theme group 1. The transition to theme 2 has 2 patterns. One of them absolutely maniacal with this rhythm. Have a listen. The transition's second pattern is very cutesy, almost too cutesy, with the same rhythm. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What I'd like you to notice in the transition is some more of Beethoven's humor. In this movement, there are two beats to each measure of music. Normally, the accented beat of each measure is the first beat. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. However, Beethoven gives us a musical kick in the pants by accenting the second beat. Thus, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Listen to the transition from theme group 1 to theme 2. Count the number of times he gooses us. How does 2 sound for the number of musical gooses? Theme 2 is a singular idea, not a group of patterns. It's a little march that occurs in a minor key in the exposition. And in a major key in the recapitulation. Did you notice that Beethoven decided to give us a gentle kick in the pants in every measure of his theme too? True to normal sonata form practice, after a closing section, quite wild in this case, the composer will play with or develop the thematic patterns of the exposition in the next large paragraph or section, the development. We're not going to linger here except to note one of my favorite changes, maybe two, that Beethoven makes to theme group 1, which, just so you remember, sounds like this. Here's one of the things he does to change the pattern. It's almost as if he were saying, you thought this was all so much frivolous fun, but I can be very serious at times. And yet, in the same development, he can also poke fun at himself, create a parody of his own ideas. Listen to what he does in his famous brief introduction. Here's the intro as it occurs the first time in the beginning of the movement. But in the development, it's as though he shrugs his shoulders and says, so what? Don't take yourself so seriously. In the recapitulation, Beethoven will give us his brief introduction again. Theme group 1. His transition. And theme 2. But he saves an extra portion of mania for the closing section and the extra ending, or coda. Unable to contain himself, the closing section becomes a virtual second development. Thank you. perhaps causing some at that first performance to think he'd taken complete leave of his senses, he begins a long decrescendo, or getting softer. As this happens, the contrabasses and cellos begin a descent, sounding as though they're rummaging around in the basement. The cellos and double basses finally land on these two pitches, E and D sharp. When we repeat the same musical pattern over and over again, usually played under some other musical idea, we call this an ostinato. Thus, they play this relentlessly. It goes on for so long, I've sometimes referred to it humorously as though it were the title of some silly 1950s horror movie, The Ostinato That Ate Brooklyn. I invite you now to listen as they play that two-note ostinato 21 times. The violas even joined them in the ostinato beginning in the seventh occurrence. We'll start the music on the first occurrence. The French horns come charging in when the ostinato ends, and then the cellos and basses play it another four times just for good measure. Focus your listening down there. It's somewhat ambiguous as to where that second development ends and where the extra ending or coda begins, but for the sake of argument, let's say it begins at a wonderful spot where we find Ludwig at his manic best. He resorts to contrary motion, something Beethoven loved to employ. One voice comes down while the other goes up simultaneously. And the reverse is just as enjoyable. At this moment, Beethoven has the first and second violins descend while the violas ascend. When the music is going at full speed, it's difficult to focus on the very interesting harmonies created. So we'll slow it way down for you. To build the tension, he takes this moment of contrary motion and turns it into an ascending sequence. That is, the idea will repeat, but starting on consecutively higher pitches. We'll start the music on the first stair step of the sequence. Count how many steps it ascends. Did you find four steps? Moving right along, the trumpets and French horns begin to wail, as we say in the music business, blasting away, and the violins, who had just descended, now ascend. Beethoven could have ended the movement right there. But no, he has the orchestra play suddenly softly and starts the whole tension-building mechanism all over again. If you listen really carefully, and if the upper end of your hearing is not gone, you may notice that the first flute has the last word playing before the final da-da-da, da-da-da. We're going to play the entire movement for you now. In the exposition, be listening for the component parts: introduction, theme group 1, transition, theme 2, and closing section. In the development, notice how Beethoven alters those themes. When that insanely short introduction reappears, you'll know that the recapitulation has begun. Then, get ready for the wild second development that springs out of the closing section, and be listening for that long ostinato. And finally, in the exciting coda, listen for the ascending sequence of contrary motion and the virtuoso playing of the Cleveland Orchestra under the late George Zell. This has been Inside Music. I'm George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra and your host. The producer is David Ozenberg. The Discovery Orchestra's Emmy-nominated educational concerts for American Public Television are available on Amazon.com and may be streamed free of charge by Amazon Prime members. For more information about the Discovery Orchestra, visit our new website at discoveryorchestra.org. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. Additional sponsorship of Inside Music has been provided by Alfonso and Diana Finocchiaro. Inside Music episodes can be heard as webcasts at wwfm.org by selecting About Us and then Our Programs A to Z. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Tune in for our next episode, Gollywog's Satirical Cakewalk. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Mall reminding you to listen better.